Smith in the studio.
And we've got Gerald Sanders on the line from Berkeley. And I guess in Oakland they had a big meeting talking about what was going on at KPFA and Pacifica, and that is all I know. So fill us in.
Well, am I supposed to begin?
Yes, you are. You're on the air, on the web.
During the elections that we just had, and I might say the elections in which we had significant problems, before the election, we formed something called People's Radio. And we had, you know, we developed a program that a lot of people out here clearly supported and understood. So People's Radio, we fielded these candidates. And People's Radio has a website. In fact, it's called www.peoplesradio.net. You can go there and judge for yourself. Give a look at our program. We think program matters. We're not trying to push any kind of superstars or celebrities or foolishness like that. We're trying to push some basic ideas. I'll give you a couple of planks of the program. One, we support a democratically elected program council with strong listener representation and the authority to make programming decisions by majority vote. We don't think that programming should be a one-guy decision thing. We want to draw the community into that process. Another very important point. Point number two of our program is transparency in all finances, job postings, and contracts with an accountable process for management decisions at the station. Compliance with all Equal Employment Opportunity Commission requirements. So I'll mention more on that program later if time permits, but now to just report about Friday, what happened Friday. We presented something we call a report to the listeners. And what it was a report back on the recent Pacifica National Board meeting and important ongoing issues at radio station KPFA 94.1 FM. Here is what the program comprised of. First, we had former National Board meeting board members like myself gave an overall on what it is that had occurred at the station in the last year and why it is that Pacifica matters, you know? Mm-hmm. Why it is that people should be concerned at all about Pacifica. So, for instance, I talked about, let's see, okay, number one, the need to institutionalize real accountability. So people know we have a LSB. We have a local station board out here. Why would we call a public meeting to report back on the Pacifica meeting? Because we realize that sometimes the local station board meetings have other business that they feel is a priority, and they don't get around to reporting about Pacifica's national board meeting. I have been on the LSB, so I know from my own experience that we never had a report back on the LSB agenda when I was on the LSB. So I thought that was not a good thing. I thought we want the listeners to get an overall view of the health of the network. So that was one reason we had it. And we want to institutionalize accountability. We don't think that only the LSB and at LSB meetings should people be able to find out what's going on. We think there should be several centers of activity and information about our station. So we I talked about what had been accomplished in the last year nationally and the importance, really, number one, the importance of financial disclosure. We need to know where the money is in our network. As they say, follow the money.
When you put this evening together last Friday night, were you able to get a public service announcement or anything on the KPFA to announce it?
Okay, Scoot, to be perfectly honest, that did not happen, but I'm not going to cast aspersions this time. You know, I want to be honest about this. And what it was is, as you may notice, the actual PNB meeting took place in L.A. It was about like 2 weeks ago already. So we felt that it was very important to go ahead and have a report back. You can't have a report back months after, you know, the PNB meeting. So we kind of pushed and I ran out and I got a place for us. And we just went on and did it. And over here in KPFA, they have a rule that you have to hand in your public service announcement 2 weeks before the event.
God, I can't believe that.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. And I presume it's the same rule for everyone.
No, it's not here. Definitely not. That's
okay. Well, it's a little bureaucratic, but what I meant was, Scoot, that I don't think they were picking on us.
I understand.
So I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to dog them on that.
Gotcha.
We got busy in letting people know about it. We have some people. See, People's Radio has supporters on the staff of KPFA and the listeners. So we got people on the staff to help us out and mention it on their programs. Guns and Butter, Beyond the Great, I forgot the name. Divide, that's Robbie Osmond's program. So he was kind enough to, you know, do a little plug for us. And as it wound up, man, you know, we didn't do badly. We had 50 people show up to the meeting, which is respectable, we felt, for our virgin voyage, I guess they call it, the maiden voyage. So since that was our maiden voyage, we were satisfied that 50 listeners had came out to support us.
And now, the People's Radio Collective, what are y'all calling yourself, an organization, the Collective?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Collective is good.
How long y'all been around?
Well, we just formed before the election.
Okay.
You know, but we decided to stay together and try to look. I'm gonna tell you the truth. Let me just tell you the truth. I won in the election last time with about the same amount of votes that I had this time. But what occurred was, and I'm just being really frank, our staff is not one guy, and I'm not staff bashing. I am not putting down the staff at KPFA, but the truth, and only the truth, will set you free. So elements in the staff, and I'm talking about Mr. Larry Bensky, I'm talking about Dave Bacon, I'm talking about Philip Modori, I'm talking about Mark Miracle, I'm talking about
old school.
Right, I mean Alpha Day. They got together. They function as a little clique, see? And they got together and targeted this election to get this slate called Forward elected. Mm. And they basically, you know, they use spam. See, we didn't. This, I know this sounds oaky and silly, but this is the truth. We didn't want to just send emails to people who were not part of KPFA or were not listeners. So we didn't want to just saturate the internet with spam about, you know, an election that people aren't involved in. We think that's wrong. We think, well, look, let's face it, spam is not a good thing. Come on. Who the hell wants to turn on their computer and get email that has nothing to do with them? So we decided not to do a spam thing. Now, I know it may sound, you know, moralistic, but that's what we felt. Spam is not the answer. We went to the most conscious listeners, which is unfortunately a minority of the 30,000 subscribers that we have. We have 100,000 listeners out here, about 30,000 subscribers. So we went to all of the KPFA events, you see, and appealed to the most conscious and loyal listeners that attend those events. And we among those people, we had over 3,000 hits at our website. So among those people, we did very well. In fact, in the election, it was for 9 seats. We won 6 out of 9 seats.
Wow.
We would have took more, to tell you the truth. But this spam by this by these staff members that I mentioned, and the reason I'm mentioning my, you know, you say, well, Gerald, why would you? Well, we actually, people came to us with the emails and gave them to us.
Right. Well, you know, this sort of echoes, actually, if you go way back in the day when we were fighting against the clique in D.C., shall
mm-hmm.
we say, they said mm-hmm. in D.C., they used to call it the West Coast email machine.
You know? Right.
And of course, a lot of people that you were talking about formed these enormous lists. But later on, they have been used for election processes, and you're not the first person to be hit by them. Stan Woods would be, you know, to call Stan like anti-labor and stuff. That's pretty.
Oh, it's sickening.
Yeah.
Stan Woods was a member of the executive board of the International Longshoremen and Warehousemen's Union, Local 6, out here. I happen to know that for a fact. And the ILWU, for people that may not be aware, is one of the most democratic and militant unions in America. I'm an electrician. I'm a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You know, so to try to play that type of dirty pool, let's say, well, to be honest, it's beneath me.
It's called.
But I don't need to use that kind of stuff. I don't need lies, I don't think. Well, let's put it this way. We're not going to use lies.
All right. It's Karl Rove shit.
Yeah, basically.
But anyway, you know, the email machine that you're talking about is well known. So anyway, a little bit more play-by-play on Friday night. Did you manage to get Robert on the line, by the
way?
Yeah,
we did.
Okay.
Let me tell you what happened, how we did it.
I'm talking about, to the listeners, I'm talking about Robert Knight from WBAI.
Yeah, I'll explain that. What we did was, I'll answer any question that you raised, so let me go and look now. I did want to just put it in chronological order and say that Laverne Williams, who was the highest vote getter in our election out here, also won the seat for the national board, and that was her first national board meeting as a representative of the Bay Area, and Fadi Saba also.
And I'd like to say that the folks that I know on the PNB really speak highly of Laverne.
Well, she's a hard worker.
Yeah.
She don't just take up oxygen, man. She was on that financial committee, and she had to go up against Lonnie and Dan all the time, and she stood her ground. We're very proud of her.
Yeah.
We are very proud of her. Now, so her and Fadi went, and those were people supported by People's Radio, and they followed me and gave the update report about what had happened at the latest PMB. Then Bonnie Faulkner talked about the status of Guns and Butter, and the reason that was important was because, they had, the program council had a so-called evaluation, and it was, Scooter, it was not really a serious evaluation. I don't like this kind of BS. So what they did was they had three people evaluate Guns and Butter. A special that Guns and Butter put on the Kennedy assassination. A guy that I know out here by the name of Ralph Shulman gave the presentation. And I can tell you something. This guy's serious. He does his homework, his research. He's flawless in that regard. Now, we can have debates about what good radio is and whether music should accompany a program. But what happened was they had a committee. Stan Woods was on it. Eileen Alfadere was on it. And Chris Welch was on it. And Chris Welch and Alfadere come out with these negative evaluations of the Guns and Butter special. And, you know, it was just uncalled for. Uncalled for. It was unscientific. So, in the way, you know, the way it was done, it was just not good. And I believe that their assessments were overly critical of the Guns and Butter special. So, to tell you the truth, Bonnie felt that, wow, what are these guys trying to get rid of me or what? And, naturally, she let people know that about this evaluation. So, last week, when the program was going on, this is why, as you know, you was trying to help out with that FTP thing. Well, Bonnie was trying to get KPFA. She wanted to do two things at the same time. She wanted to go and tape a speech by Nader that was happening in the Bay Area. At the same time, she wanted to have Guns and Butter aired, so she sent it across the line. Now, this is how bad it is at Animal House over here at KPFA. These fuckers, they didn't know how to do it. They were fucked up. They fucked it off. They didn't know how to download the program.
Oh,
or, more importantly, let me say this. If they did know, they had no sense of how much time it took to do it. So that they were still downloading the program a half an hour into when the program was supposed to have been aired. Bonnie hit the ceiling. She feels that she has been neglected by the station. She feels that they have not been supportive of her. And here's a fact. I'm not saying that money counts for everything, okay? So please, don't get me wrong. But I can tell you, whenever we have a fundraiser, I volunteer every spare moment to go in there and take that money from our listeners and thank them and, you know, work in the boiler room. Well, I know, having been in that room.
They clean up.
Man, Guns and Butter be bringing the money, let me tell you. So, Bonnie's
By the way, these are volunteer programmers.
She don't get a dime.
Right.
She don't get a dime, and that's what she said. She wrote a thing to the station that basically said, look, I get paid nothing, and these guys get paid, and they too incompetent to put this program on the air. What's up with this?
Right. In other words, she could produce it and put it together and all this stuff on her own and basically put it in a format that any 13-year-old could download. But
come on, Scooter, you're an expert, so
right.
I feel bad about Animal House, but I don't want to make them less than 13-year-olds.
Let me no.
They were just incompetent. That's all.
Well, okay, I was overstating it. But look, what's interesting is that you bring up this assassination of Kate. JFK thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what that reminds me sort of this huge 911 thing that's been going on within the network with like the folks from Fair and Randall and Korn and all those people saying, oh, you can't put that 911 conspiracy theory stuff on the air because that brings it all down, and then the stuff that we say won't be listened to by the crowd that's more NPR or whatever. You know, I mean, that's been around for a while, and obviously Guns and Butter is going to fall under that fire.
Yeah, but you want to know what?
What?
When that program didn't go on, the phones went off. People went berserk, man. I'm trying to tell you, this is not an exaggeration. People called in and complained, and they said, hey, man, Guns and Butter, where's my Guns and Butter? And our GM, Roy Campanella, I don't want to make any characterization about people's character or anything like that, but the thing about him that's very, very different from the interim GM that we had for 5 years before is that while Mr. Bennett was not responsive to the public or anybody else, he was only responsive... He was an in-house kind of guy.
Right.
Whereas this guy pays attention to what people think.
Well, that's good.
So those calls did it. He called Bonnie, and according to the report that Bonnie gave at that night, Friday night, Guns and Butter is going to be continued.
Well, I don't want to hang up on Bonnie, but do give her my love when you see her.
I will.
Anything else about the Friday night meeting? You want to go on with it?
All right, so then Friday night then... There have been recent threats to the journalistic integrity of a reporter at WBAI. This reporter is Robert Knight at our sister station at WBAI, as I said.
Had his files broken into, right?
I'm sorry?
Had his desk messed with?
I'm sorry, would you come again?
I said he had his desk messed with? Someone was going through his desk?
Yes, man. Yes, it's hard.
All right,
listeners, please stay with me on this. This is very difficult to understand. Apparently, someone who connected with this Justice and Unity clique at WBAI felt compelled to rifle through Robert's belongings. He had business on his desk piled up the way he does. I'm out here. I didn't see the stuff, but I know what he said, and I know what other people from New York have told me. And I know this. Journalists go to jail if the government says, give me your sources. Where you get that from? A lot of principled journalists will say, no, I ain't talking. And they'll go to jail before they give up their sources and stuff. So privacy for journalists is a very important matter. This is what makes you a real journalist, because if you go around chatty-chatty mouth-mouth or let idiots go around looking at your paperwork, then that's not very secure. Isn't that right?
Yeah, well, you don't want anybody to know where Kevin Pena is at any
that's
given
right.
time.
Right. That's a good idea. So keep him alive a few more days, huh?
Right.
Well, I know it sounds hard to believe, but this woman went through his belongings. And then she calls him and says, oh, I cleaned your desk off for you. Now, brothers and sisters, this was not a case where a dumb person was helping out and made a mistake. This was a provocation.
This wasn't a drive-by cleaning?
No. This is no drive-by cleaning. This is, yeah, the drive-by.
I've been looking
right.
for that, you know. I've been wanting one of those for a long time.
Yeah, nobody cleans my desk off, huh?
I can't get that. I've had
but
to do the
no,
thing
no, this
myself.
Was done, I believe, intentionally. Intentional.
Yeah.
Either she was really looking for something, which means, uh-oh, we got more attention from the government than we want, or she was attempting to provoke an incident. Because you don't have to have more degrees than a thermometer to know to leave people's stuff alone.
That's right.
Especially a reporter. So we call Robert up. I call Robert up, to tell you the truth. And then it was real basic, folks. We didn't have Scooter there to help us out. So what we did was we had a speakerphone, and we put the microphone on the speakerphone and let Robert talk to the people. And it was one of the best parts of the meeting.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
we should get Robert on here. We should just get in touch with Robert and get him on
you
here.
You absolutely should.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Yeah.
You absolutely should.
By the way, Gerald, this is a resurrection of a program that ran a few years ago, which is all about Pacifica politics.
Okay.
And was actually pretty popular. But since the supposedly, what do you call it, regime change?
Yes.
Yes. It kind of went away. So we're reviving it now. And
I think it's a good idea.
This is the virgin broadcast of mm-hmm. the son of the bride of the remake of Radio for Houston.
Okay.
So
okay, beautiful.
It's great to have you on. And any other subjects from the meeting you'd like to bring up?
Yes, we did. We had a guy named Stan Woods.
Look, Stan.
The guy I mentioned earlier. He talked about what was happening with the program council, because he serves on the program council. And then, of course, we had questions and answers, you know, questions and comments during that, you know, discussion period. I must say, many of our people at Pacifica like to, instead of engaging in what people are talking about, they kind of just get up there and make a speech that's not directly relevant to what we were talking about. That was not the strongest part of our program. But people obviously have a right to talk, and in any event I organize, we're always going to have a time for people to talk. Maybe next time we'll have real questions first, and then after that, then we let people just blow off.
Now, do you think people's radio might have a place as far as going national, a five-station movement?
Well, we're discussing that right now.
You know, well, I would put in for that, because we really need something like that, I think.
I think it's a good idea myself. What it is people are a little scared. Well, you know, I'd like to just get really into it, but we don't know each other well enough. Like, I know you. I know your wife. I know Odie. I know, you know what I mean? I know a lot of people there in Houston, and I got a little feel for it. And I know kind of who I trust over there, you know? I know New York pretty well. Well, I'm unusual because I spent time in every area to talk to people, and I call people back. But most of us, most of our people do not know each other. And it's like the Tower of Babel, so to speak. You know what I mean?
That's great. That's a great association.
Go ahead.
Well, and so I think that people know each other leads to a little bit of fear about us all uniting. But I think if you guys go to www.peoplesradio.net, take a minute. Look at the program that we offer you. Critique it. Write us. Talk to us about it. We'll answer you. We're not Mr. We're not Mr. Dan Coghlan. We answer our phone calls and our mail. You call us, we talk back to you, like people supposed to do. And you do that, and you look at this program. It's a very simple reform program for Pacifica. It's not very high-blown. I think it's very reasonable. Oh, and by the way, people should know this. Democracy Now!, one of the things the general manager is going to do out here is, I believe, they're going to vote on this, so it's not hasn't happened yet. But I believe Democracy Now! Is going to be on at 7 in the morning and 7 at night here at KPFA.
And that was pretty much the question that broke the program council, wasn't it?
That sure was. And, in fact, it was one of the points on our program, point 3, Democracy Now!, on twice a day, once at 7 and once in the evening to reach as many listeners as possible. Right now, today, it's the best program we have. Now, we know we want to create 1, 2, 3 mini Democracy Nows.
That's right.
We don't know all the talent we have here at Pacific. I wouldn't dare say who could be as competent as Amy, you know?
Just to give kudos to KPFA, I kind of go back and forth because we get both Flashpoints and Democracy Now!.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of go back and forth on you know, if you're looking at, you know, competition or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing about Dennis's show is much more focused on the Middle East, so it doesn't quite have as often have quite the broader scope that Democracy Now! Does.
That's true.
I mean, but when Dennis is on, I mean, you know, I really prefer to, you know, when he's on, man, I mean,
yeah,
that national program that they did, what was that, last night?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you guys something. He gave a speech at a radio conference that took place out here at New College in San Francisco.
Yeah,
I believe Odie has a copy of it on KP.
Yep.
On X. Well, you guys got it on your fancy whatever it is you got.
We already played it on the air.
KP.
Oh, God damn. Well, you see, you know what happens, man? I'm going to tell you something that's happening. KPFA gets a little, it's like community radio on steroids. So sometimes if you're too pumped up, you can't move in a very supple, subtle and quick way. You're big and you're powerful, but you can't get around real quick, you know?
Right.
So that
dinosaurs.
Some of the smaller stations look like they're doing some, you know, you have a little more flexibility.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff we put on Monday nights.
Well, why don't you share? Hell, we're talking. Let's talk.
Oh, I mean, this guy that comes, actually, he's a homeboy. You're Gerald Smith and Tracy James and these guys of Slaver Volt Radio and Jeff
Blackford.
Oh,
Blackford. Yeah.
Man, we get away with some radical stuff. You got to keep it a little bit toward the late at night. And, yeah, we get away with it. And you know, as far as since regime change, I don't know yet of a single cancellation over any kind of ideological or contention, you know, of content.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, you know.
I gotta tell you one more thing. Check this out before I forget now. Reba Entin, who was the chair of the LSB last year, okay?
Right.
Also spoke for us, and we had a very good thing going. We had an old timer, a grand old man of KPFA by the name of Bill Mandel. And we have a campaign to get Bill back on the air. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's working. I think they're going to give him a half an hour.
No kidding.
Yeah.
About time.
Oh, don't you know it. He was banned by those people that took over the station, and nobody ever unbanned him. And you have to sit down and wonder, who are these people that are running Pacifica and some of our stations now?
But I have to say that, you know, I'm about a quarter of a way into his autobiography, and, man, this guy has tons of stuff to say.
That's right.
He's
one of my mentors.
Oh, really?
Know? Yeah, he is. He really is. He and I have worked together on the case of Mumia Abdul-Jamal, and we have done other work together, and he's just a prince of a guy.
You know, he was kind of my favorite back in the day when I lived there in Oakland was Mom O'Shea.
Yeah, don't get me going on that, though. That's one of the saddest, sickest things
it,
ever
it
happened.
Really is. It, you know, I became pretty close to Janet Liebert over that that disaster a few years ago, you know.
When they took her off the air,
that was
she was a very good fundraiser, by the way. And she was the one that had the community program. She'd come on there for 2 hours, usually on a Friday, I think. And I don't care who you were. I don't care what you thought. I don't care what your character was. If you were crazy, hazy, or lazy, or what your thing was, Mama O'Shea would talk with you.
Right.
She'd let you get your little stuff out. We'd talk about this and that. She was something else, man. She was just a wonderful person.
Yeah.
Just wonderful. And what happens? All she just gave, and for no reason but arbitrary, bureaucratic, administrative considerations, they took her off the air. That lady died, not picking a year.
I know.
Of when they took her off the air. What a sad.
Yeah, they killed her.
Well.
But anyway,
they killed her in a sense of the sadness.
Right.
The depression that you suffer when you lose something so important to you.
But
that was really important to her, you know?
She
lived to see, she was like a glue that held us together, you see? Because that's what the station's supposed to do. It's supposed to encourage people to talk to each other, listen to each other.
It was in the height of the homeless tragedy, you know, right after, you know, Reagan kicked everybody out of these insane asylums, that they kicked off a show about homeless people because it was irrelevant.
Yeah.
Man, right. that was, you know, in a way, that was the first heads up. It was the first real heads up.
Well, people, look, you know what? I missed it. A lot of us missed it. In 1995, that's when they kicked Bill off initially. And it wasn't just Bill, man. They kicked, Pat Scott kicked 100 fucking people out of KPFA.
She pulled off
the Third World Department, the Women's Department.
Right. But she if you add up all the shows that were canceled under her boot, it's over 600 across the network.
You see?
In a couple of years.
Right.
That's called a purge.
Well, of course it was. No, that's not. It absolutely was a purge. And the thing is, we haven't recovered from it, Scooter.
No,
we like to talk like it's all over and we got it together now and everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Hogwash. Hogwash. It is not over. We're going to get Bill back, but how many other people should come back and share, you know, their wisdom, their treasures with us?
But it's also a question of how many new people that share the values that have been cast out in the name of entertainment and balanced reporting and so forth.
Yeah, look, man, I want to tell you something. I don't know, so I'm not going to. I wish I knew. But I know this. I know that what People Radio is trying to do is we're trying to go forward in a principled way engage the listeners, get some young people in there, and let's have some real community in the radio. Look, you know, KPFA won an award because one of the People's Radio people, his name is Steve Connolly, he lost the election too. His last thing he did for KPFA is in December. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't December. It was, I think it was October. Yes, it was early October. Steve organized a town hall meeting in the Tenderloin in San Francisco, which is basically rock bottom, the poorest area of San Francisco.
Well, except for Hunter's Point.
Oh, what are you saying? You don't think the Tenderloin? Look, Hunter's Point people own their homes, not Tenderloin.
Okay.
You know, that's where you have most of those single occupancy hotels. Tenderloin is a rough area, bro.
No,
that's area I start looking over my shoulder at is at Tenderloin.
Oh, really? Okay.
Tenderloin, rough. And we got all of these different churches and community organizations to participate with us in this. And the city gave an award to KPFA claiming that this was community radio as it should be. The city, they don't call it the city council in San Francisco. They call it the Board of Supervisors.
Right.
Issued that award for us. That's another little victory for People's Radio. So we have some decent people with People's Radio. And you're right, Scooter. Those people are not just in the Bay Area. They're all over the place. They're in Washington. They're in New York. And, yes, we do need to reach out and touch each other and unite and look out for what's going on in this station and educate our listeners. That's the main thing. Educate the listeners. Reach out to the listeners. Out here, we don't miss a KPFA event. We go to every KPFA event. And just recently, something strange happened. We had a KPFA event with Helen Pigeon. Is that her name?
Yeah, that's it.
The nun that was the subject of the film.
Dead Man Walking.
Dead Man Walking with Susan Sarandon and my man, that other cat. He's a very good actor also, you know.
Sean Penn.
Sean Penn, that's right. And, you know, she came to the Bay Area we had a KPFA event, and we didn't fill the place up. Place held 800, we had 500 people there. I don't know. Now, that's not, we didn't promote that properly.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe they didn't have, they didn't have 2 weeks advance notice. Who knows?
No, they had 2 weeks advance notice.
I mean, were they pumping it on the air?
I'll be honest with you, Scooter. I don't always, you know, sometimes I'm not in a position to listen all the time.
Right, right, right.
So I listen, started listening at 6, and after a while I got to get on my way.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, I didn't hear very many advertisements for it. But then that doesn't mean that they didn't have a lot in the evening, and I just don't know. Right. Something wasn't done. You understand that? Here, we're a radio station. That's our event. We should have pushed that event better, in my opinion. And I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not naming no names on that. That's not good when you have access to the airwaves and you do not sufficiently promote your own event. So let's do better, KPFA.
Well, would you like to leave us with anything there, Gerald? I know that's it's not getting late there, but it's getting late here.
Yeah, okay. No, I'd like to say the following. I'd like to say that, you know, we are advocates of strong and elected boards at KPFA and Pacifica to prevent future anti-democratic takeovers. And people, what we're trying to tell you is takeovers don't happen in one fell swoop. We think that the people in the stations that are fighting against full disclosure, for instance, wind up helping possible future takeovers. I don't give a damn what station you're in. You fight for full disclosure. You have a right to know.
And these fools,
where that money's going.
And these fools don't realize they're the next to be fired.
Yeah.
You know that throwing up this stuff. Yeah, and you know, name any names.
Well, that's it. If we want Pacifica to be a vigilant critic of the New World Order. And in order for that, it needs to be healthy, man. We need to be healthy. We need to be open. You know, all these executive sessions, hiding this, hiding that. We got to watch that, man.
That's right.
Hey, one more thing before you go. I know you're a good friend with Gerald Smith, and I was going to try and reach him to do a program with Skidmark Bob on micro radio this coming Monday. So if you see him, ask him if he's available.
Okay. I certainly will, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to cooperate with you.
Peoplesradio.net. We'll bring you back.
Okay.
Thank you, Gerald.
Well, thank you very much, man.
Peace to you. Later.
Bye-bye.